Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Well, it's hour number one of one. Normally, it's hour number two of two, but because of the Astros and the Reds, here we are. Happy hump day to you and yours this 19th day of the 19th year of 2000. We're in the month of June. It's a hot, crisp, sultry day. Hope you're having a good one. And we've got a lot to talk about. Hole That Tiger has been screaming from the rooftops. Ed Orgeron with yet another commitment or two. Will Wade gets a great basketball commit from the Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year, a guard for the class of 2020. We're on the eve of the NBA draft. Zion talking about, hey, I'm just a normal guy. I don't have a favorite team. I just, wherever I go, I just wanted to be in the NBA. And no matter who I go to, I'm going to give it my all. Coming up on the show today, Mike Scarborough will join us, of TigerBait.com to talk about all the LSU football commitments. And it wouldn't be hump day without Hugonen. Michael Hugonen of The Athletic joins us as well. But without further ado, as we do each and every day at this time of day, we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Well, CD, Astros had it under control and then surrendered two in the ninth. I thought we might be going extra innings, but alas, Astros lose. The Reds on fire.
Yeah, they really are, Jordy. The Reds are getting red hot. Four straight wins and wound up looking pretty impressive in the series against the Astros. It seemed like they've lost a little bit of that power swing that they've had over the last few weeks, because obviously you wind up talking about Robinson Chirinos' home runs left and right. Yordan Alvarez, his strong week, he's definitely kind of regressed towards the mean a little bit. Jose Altuve hitless in his return to the lineup. It's definitely not a good look to kind of get things going as you begin a seven-game road trip with three straight losses.
No question. All right, what you got for me today?
Jordy, I got a lot to get to, and of course, we're about a little more than 24 hours away from the NBA draft, where we'll see Zion Williamson become the number one pick. And I want to kind of throw the soundbite your way, because we talked about it a few weeks ago, Jordy, about where you would take Zion Williamson if he was a Nola, and he kind of divulged.
What did I tell you?
He divulged the deeds, Jordy, so I'm going to let him speak for himself.
The city was just very welcoming, like, Everywhere I went, it was just like walking on the street. It was just people, you know, high-fiving me, saying they hope I come here to go into, I think the food place was called Commander's. I've been seeing some of the people saying I got like chicken tenders. No, that was my five-year-old brother did this.
Can you play back the tape of what I said I would take him first?
I don't have that available, Jordy, but we all know you went Commanders. And I was I was like, Jordy with the call out of the shot there. Nice.
Know my city. Know my hometown.
That's why I asked you. I was like, I wasn't going to ask, you know, some random Joe on the street. I'm going to ask somebody who was a native New Orleanian who knows the highways and the byways, Jordy.
It's top shelf, no question. Great food, great ambiance. And did you see where one location of Popeyes come up with the 82-inch
the 87-inch wingspan?
Yes. How about that?
Yeah, Jordy.
That's a lot of chicken, man.
It really is, and it's only going to be available for one day, Jordy. It's only going to be available on draft day, $74.69. If you're going to be heading to New Orleans to enjoy this, go to the Popeyes on Canal Street. It's called the 82-inch wingspan box. And my goodness, Jordy, I'm getting hungry, but
let's go. Let's go. Let's do our show there tomorrow.
All right, let's do the show. Let's.
I'll call Popeyes. I'll see if we can get a one-day remote sponsorship, and we'll just slam down chicken with the biscuits. What's your side order at Popeyes? Come on.
Oh, well, like I said, this thing actually has 77 boneless wings, 11 Ooh. Biscuits, Ooh. 11 orders of fries and sauces. So, Jordan, like hypothetically, we could bring the whole Delta Media crew down
Absolutely.
To NOLA to eat this entire thing.
We got
to
work it out where we split the fries, half of fries. I got to have half red beans and rice.
Okay.
It's the best. All right. We'll work on it.
We'll
work on it.
Baby steps, Jordy. I guess that's just the most wildest thing I had seen. A Popeye's box for Zion Williamson to celebrate his arrival, Jordy. You know, have you ever thought about something like that? Like, why wasn't that done when Anthony Davis got drafted?
AD is not the personality that Zion is. And what I laughed about from the quote was, we hope you come here? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, we know you're coming here. So get ready. And look, that city will gravitate. That city will envelop him. That city will show more love to him than he's ever seen before in his life. If he thought Mike Krzyzewski wooed him to come to Duke, he ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, exactly, Jordy.
I'd like to be in that city and never have to pay for a meal or a drink or a hotel room. I mean, nothing.
Like, the guy's just set for life, especially because it's just like right away everybody loves him. And I was talking with Ben about this a little bit, about how it's kind of the reception is for Zion Williamson. And we compared a little bit to what happened when you had Rob Ryan jump over as the defensive coordinator. I was like, well, Ben, I mean, he did help himself out a lot for buying beer for an entire bar after the first win.
Yeah, yeah. No, they'll be buying Zion the drinks. He ain't going to be doing that for the fans. The fans are going to be buying him if that's something that he so desires. And what a great opportunity for him. What a great night. Instant multi-millionaire. We don't know what. Who's he going to get the shoe contract with?
I hope not Nike.
Be Nike after the blowout. It's got to be.
I mean,
I would command more money than LeBron James ever dreamt of. You want me that badly? You blew out my knee because of the shoe. You come up with the Zion. And you show me about $500 million, and we'll talk.
Oh, exactly, Jordy. He's going to be getting paid, just like I'd say a lot of these players are going to get big money. But, Jordy, some big trades going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. They traded Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, and the 23rd pick in Thursday's draft, also a future first-round pick. But I have to say, Jordy, that's a pretty decent haul for the Grizzlies to get a lot of young talent in there that could wind up making the Grizzlies a lot better of a franchise.
And they happen to be in the same division as the Pelicans. Yeah. Does that tell you who they're drafting at number two, that they got rid of their point guard? I think so. John Morant going there. That's a lot of players. I like Korver, of course, can shoot it. Jay Crowder's a very skilled player, the 23rd pick in the draft and a future first-round pick. So, yeah, Memphis loading up. They got the number two pick overall. Good for them.
Exactly. It's gonna be crazy to see what happens in that NBA draft, but I think the biggest thing everybody's talking about is what happens at the three, Jordy. What do the New York Knicks do? A lot of rumor and innuendo is coming out over the last, 24 hours about apparently looks like the Knicks are all wanting Darius Garland, which could very well have two Blue Devils in the house. Imagine that kind of tag team.
Very, very interesting to say the least. I still think the Knicks are going to take R.J. Barrett. I still believe that. The question is, what happens at... Either way, what happens at number four? What has David Griffin got up his sleeve? That's the big, big, big question. And I just don't have a clue. It's very tight-lipped.
Yep.
But Andrew Lopez will join us tomorrow. He is in New York City, in Brooklyn, for the draft, and he will join us to kind of give us a preview of things. So it's a big to-do in the city of New Orleans, man. This is fun times. Yeah. We've got a great NFL team, and there's hope for the NBA team now as well.
Exactly. It's going to be awesome, Jordy, to see what this franchise winds up doing. But if, I think we wind up seeing what they do with the four once the Knicks do what they do with number three, because I think they're just waiting for that, and then they'll drop the shoe. Because if RJ Barrett's not there, they're trading that bad boy.
Time will tell. That's why we're all going to be watching. We're all going to be watching. There's your Hot Topics for the day, brought to you by Best Hot Sauce on the Planet, Cajun Chef. Do yourself a flavor. Bring some Cajun Chef hot sauce wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. LSU, more commitments. Mike Scarborough, next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Holford Show on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, welcome back. My goodness, hold that tiger. Of course, that is the expression that Ed Orgeron tweets, which means he reeled in another one. And my goodness gracious, in the span of just a few hours, a couple of defensive linemen have joined the fray. And now LSU up to 19 commitments. Let's go get the very latest from TigerBait.com's one and only Mr. Mike Scarborough. Gee whiz, sounds like things are rolling in Tiger Town. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I kind of felt sorry for Jalen Cook. Will Wade gets some positive basketball recruiting news, and in less than, seemed like, 30 minutes, Eric Taylor, who we had been teasing a bit on Tiger Bait for a couple of days, he pulled the trigger in between 9 and 10 o'clock right after Cook. Of course, he's a big-time 6'5", 280-pound defensive lineman from Trussville, Alabama. And then, of course, Jalen Lee this morning announced that he had given Ed Orgeron his word last night. Then you got Jacoby and Guillory coming in for an official visit this weekend. And you really get the impression that Ed Orgeron and his staff, if they could get it done, they'd love to have all 25 commitments done.
Yes.
Where they could just focus on 2021. It camp that starts tomorrow through Saturday, and then the upcoming football season. Maybe there's also an argument to be had for having an August signing period now.
Yeah, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Please don't start that. Please don't. So two more defensive line prospects. By my account, that's like eight big bodies on defense in this 2020 class. I mean, you got Roy out there. You got some other defensive. Do you see them taking as many as 10 defensive linemen?
Well, you know, I'm not going to count, you know, some of the defensive ends in there or the outside linebacker types, but certainly Ali Gay, who, you know, committed over a week ago. You know, he's a 6 foot five, 6 foot, you know, six defensive end that's in that 270-pound range. And, you know, it's – you know, he lines up in that defensive tackle spot in a 3-4. But, yeah, you know, the thing is, Marco Domeo, the cornerback from Blinn Community College, was one of the Hold That Tigers two Sundays ago. He committed on his official visit, but he said that he was going to go home and produce a commitment video. Of course, 3 days later, the video he puts out is a top six. He's going to Kentucky this weekend, but he was one of the commitments. So if you add him to the list, and they have not backed off of him, that's 21. You got Jaquelin Roy and Jacobin Guillory out there. That's 23. They need a tight end. That's 24. They need a running back. That's 25. They need three offensive linemen. That's 28. And they want another outside linebacker. That's 29.
That's in a perfect world if they get everybody they think they're going to get. But, of course, that never works out that way.
You're wondering if something's going to give here. And I, you know, we were having a debate a month ago, should they go for four or five offensive linemen in this class? The number had seemed to be four. I'm wondering if they're wondering if they can get away with three. To me, that's a scary proposition when you need tackles so bad.
They just have one offensive line recruit, don't they? Marlon Martinez, am I wrong?
Yep, and, of course, I think his teammate, Doomerville, is a lean LSU, so that would give you two. where the other one or two would come from. I don't think there's anybody out there right now that you say is leaning in LSU's direction, although they're certainly still recruiting Paris Johnson, the five-star who's committed to Ohio State that visited weeks ago officially. So it's going to be very interesting. But regardless of the number problem, this recruiting class is absolutely amazing for Ed Orgeron. So you're going to a season here where, you know, people don't know whether to pick 10-2 or 11-1. You got a recruiting class that's at the very top, battling Alabama and Clemson and going neck and neck with those guys. It's everything's coming up roses for Ed Orgeron and that coaching staff at LSU.
With all these defensive linemen, Cameron Jackson, Allie Gay, Jordan Berry, Patrick Jenkins, Eric Taylor, Jalen Lee, out of your film study, is there a difference maker right away out of that group?
Boy, I really like what I saw out of Patrick Jenkins at that camp two Saturdays ago. I mean, okay, all day long, I'm like, who's that? You know, and I kept my camera on him, and I had every rep that he had done at the one-on-ones up on Tiger Bait, and sure enough, at the end of the day, he ended up getting an offer and then, you know, committing. So I think he's a sleeper. I think Jalen Lee is got a ton of potential. He's a very good one. Everybody in the conference wanted him. You know, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and on, Texas A&M. He's supposed to go to Texas A&M for a visit this weekend. So, you know, certainly Jaquelin Roy is the big prize. He's, you know, arguably the number one player in the state for this year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's my number one. Right. Jacobian Guillory is an inside guy that is right there. But, yeah, look, you're losing a lot on the defensive line, the graduation, and that's a position that needs to be rebuilt. So we're going to see how this all shakes out. I mean, you know, I've had the debate for a while that Cameron Jackson was a future offensive lineman based on what I've seen from him. But I don't think James Craig, you know, views him as one of the offensive linemen that would be on his side of the ball. So going to be interesting to see how all this shakes out in the coming months, and who stays put, who they add, and how they crunch the numbers. Because, you know, and it's not like you're looking at it and you're like, you know, like Nick Saban likes to do in the so-called processing of players. Mm-hmm. You're looking at LSU's commitment list, and, man, it's not like you're looking at a half a dozen kids down at the bottom of the list when you're, you know, listening by ranking and thinking there's some guys that don't belong.
Right.
Or you know, where you've got a whole bunch of them to choose from.
Yeah, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Does this plethora of defensive linemen scare off a Jacqueline Roy? Are you worried about something like that?
I don't think so. Okay. But, you know, I mean, you look at him of course, he was committed to LSU, backed off, looked like LSU was in bad shape right when he decommitted. And now he's, you know, every time you turn around, he's posting more photos of him in the LSU facility, putting on uniforms and his family being there with him. And they're in really, really good shape with him. I'm just wondering what the number is going to be. You know, we hit a dead period next week. What is the commitment number going to be once that dead period is here? You've got these 3 days of camp, of some official visitors this weekend, including Giller and some outside linebackers. You know, are they going to be at 24, 25 commitments by August?
They might. Wouldn't that be sweet? You mentioned needing a tight end. I hear one of the top in the country is coming in town from Las Vegas.
Yeah, was there on campus yesterday, but he's making the rounds you know, Cole Taylor, who was on campus yesterday, or was on an official visit 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to figure out which of these tight ends are the guy. I don't think there's a tight end right now that you would put in the probable category for LSU.
Okay.
I don't know who DeCoster's going to get. We thought they would get two, but I tend to think Cole Taylor could be a guy, but he's going to Penn State this weekend.
All right. You also mentioned a running back, needing one of those. They had one of the top running backs in the country out of California coming in. Where does LSU stand there?
Yeah, I had an in-depth story that I posted, as you can still find it easily on the front page of Tiger Bait, on Zach Evans, the number one running back in the country from Houston North Shore. Got an official visit to Ohio State this weekend. His brother told me that he wants to go back out to Georgia. Of course, Kendall Milton and Evans are both looking at Georgia. But I tell you, my impression after talking to his brother is that LSU is in really, really good shape with the number one running back in the country. I talks to LSU coaches every day. Ed Orgeron is hands-on in that recruiting process, along with Tommy Robinson. Jeff Martin, who's in the recruiting office, is real close with Evans' brother. He said that they talk daily. Boy, it's like if you add a Zach Evans to this class now and what you expect to be in the part of this class, you're going to put this LSU recruiting class up there with some of the best ever in the modern age of football recruiting.
Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. So, boom, another one's landed. Defensive line, a priority. Still got to work on the offensive line. Need a running back, a tight end. I don't know how they're going to fit all the numbers into the class, but it's a good problem to have. So far, so good. Thanks for keeping us updated, my friend. I know you got to go do some other things, but we appreciate the time as always.
Hey, anytime, Jordy. Thanks for having me. Talk soon.
All right, buddy. Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. 19 commits. To beat the Bamas, you got to be stopped. You got to be sturdy up front. And to his word, Ed Orgeron's getting them. There you go. We'll be back with more here on this abridged edition of the Jordy Elpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Looking Picking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's time to break down the biggest storylines this week with Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day!
Always a thrill when we get Michael Huguenin on board to talk about a myriad of things. Good afternoon, Michael. Happy Wednesday to you. How are you, my friend?
Doing quite well.
It's a very important time in the football world of recruiting. And, my goodness, you can say what you want, but Ed Orgeron making a lot of splashes. He's got 19 commitments, and according to those that composite these rankings, it's Clemson, Alabama, and LSU at the top of the list. Ed Orgeron's, he's not backing down, man. He's not.
No, and I think the difference is in some years it would be like, well, it's not even July. He's got 8 months to go. But now with the early signing period, guys are taking official recruiting visits during the summer, making their decisions quicker. LSU's class is going to be the best one it's been under Orgeron. LSU always recruits well. The question is, you know, on an annual basis, will it be a top three class? Will it be a top five class? Will it be a top 10 class? And when it's not top 10, those are the eyebrow raisers. But this definitely is going to be a good class.
We see a trend, and I'm wondering why. Usually when LSU has a great recruiting class, that means the state of Louisiana has a lot of really, really good players. But LSU's now getting players from Maryland, from Virginia, from Texas, from California. They're recruiting now like the Clemsons and the Alabamas and the Notre Dames do. They're going everywhere, and they're not afraid to go against the best to get the best. And to me is a pretty good sign.
Yeah, that is a good sign. I think the fact that this is a good time to recruit the state of California because USC's down. UCLA does not recruit well. Oregon right now is the best recruiting school in California. So there are, obviously, if you're LSU, I would be leery of taking six guys from California.
Right,
but you're right,
right.
Cherry picking is the way to go. You mentioned Maryland. Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State went to high school in Maryland. New Jersey high schools have given players to Miami, and Ohio State and Michigan. You know, you don't want to get your whole class from there, but going in and cherry picking, that's the way. Yeah, that high level schools do it. Clemson has to be good recruiting nationally because South Carolina doesn't produce enough players. Now Louisiana, I would argue, probably does produce enough players, but I still think that if you're LSU, what's the harm in going to California, getting a kid, going to Texas, getting a couple kids, going to Florida and getting a kid? The bulk of your class is still going to be homegrown, but there's no problem with sort of adding on to that homegrown class with national type recruits.
He is Michael Huguenin of The Athletic, must-read material. Are you liking the new early signing period? I mean, it's been a couple of years now, and they've done enough studies on it. It seems to be something that's going to stick around and stay for a while.
Yeah, I think coaches, the complaints have been far fewer the last couple months. I think coaches are, if they don't like it, I think they're at least resigned to it. I think the key is the recruits themselves seem to like it. You don't have to sign in December if you don't want to. Yet
right.
Last year, the second year, I think it was close to 75% of the kids who signed FBS scholarships signed in December. So I think there is a vast majority of recruits who want to get the process over with. Again, you're not being forced to sign in December. If you want to, go ahead and do it. And I think coaches now are looking at December as the key time, and then for National Signing Day, what used to be gigantic is now, we added five or six more guys, and but the bulk of our class came in December, and I think the recruiting calendar has changed for good, and I think it's also for the good, because again, I think the recruits themselves like the fact that they can sign in December.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of like it a lot, to be quite honest with you. The NBA draft is coming up, and the New Orleans Pelicans have the first pick. We all know who's going there. That's Zion Williamson. Do you think his game is going to get even better come the NBA?
Yeah, I think there's more space on the court, more open game. He's going to develop as a shooter. Oh, my God, he's not a very good shooter right now. He's 18 years old, 19 years old. He's not a finished product. And that's, you could criticize every single player going into every single draft and come up, frankly, if you want to, with a longer list of what he can do than what he can do. But you look at Zion's upside, it's enormous. Now, I think there is a legit concern. He probably needs to keep his weight someone under control, don't get any bigger,
right.
But he's going to get stronger. He kid's a phenomenal athlete. By all accounts, he's an extremely hard-working guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember the going into high school, all that kid can do is dunk, and he dunks against kids who aren't very good. Then he
right.
goes to the All-Star games, and this kid, he's a well-rounded player, and he's going to become more well-rounded when he devotes even more time to basketball. I know people,
right.
He had to go to class at Duke. He ain't going to class anymore. So the interesting thing to me is what they do with the number four pick. I know
that was my next question.
Trade,
yes.
But
right.
And I would argue that this draft is extremely, extremely, extremely top heavy. But I don't know if the cutoff is at six or if it's at three. So it will be interesting to see what the Pelicans do. Do they keep it or do they sell it to somebody else, trade it to somebody else? And I think with the draft being tomorrow, there's always the panic situation, which means I think you might be able to get more than you possibly should for that pick. It will be interesting to see what the Pelicans do. But if I'm a Pelicans fan, okay, we lost Anthony Davis. That hurts. But we got Zion coming in. I'm pretty psyched about this. The general manager knows what he's doing. We got some interesting parts. Let's see if the health of Brandon Ingram. Let's see what his upside is if he can get healthy. And what do you do with the number four pick? Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Hugin in The Athletic, sticking to college basketball. It's kind of been, it's like people are mentally fatigued by it, but the NCAA came out and said six schools would be under investigation, and it just kind of, nobody really mentioned much about it. We don't know who the six are. We can all guesstimate on it, but what was your take on that?
Yeah, but Stan Wilcox, who's the new relatively new NCAA VP, the former athletic director at Florida State, and you're right, I would argue that it didn't perhaps get enough attention as it should have. I don't think that's a throwaway line. If you're the vice president of the NCAA, you're not going, oh, yeah, well, you know, six teams are going to get lettered, and then I don't think he's going to say that unless it's going to happen. So, I think there's I think, some optimism among some folks that, okay, maybe this is the NCAA taking a small baby step trying to legit get college basketball cleaned up. Now, it's never going to be totally clean. You know, I'm sure you could tell stories from when you're playing days, and that was 40 years ago, but still, there was stuff going on nefarious back then. I mean, Robert Parrish went to Centenary. Was put on probation for illegal recruiting of Robert Parrish. That was like 1970. So this kind of stuff's been going on forever. It's just so pervasive now. And I think it's a lot of folks just sort of shrug their shoulders. And I think the NCAA is trying to gain a foothold and clean it up a bit. It's never going to clean it up. It's already in the sewer. It's never coming out of the sewer. But maybe they can take some of the stain away. And you know, I think the worry now is if you're a college sports fan, okay, basketball has sort of been lost. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen with football? So but the basketball, maybe the basketball, maybe the six schools, it's going to be interesting to see which six schools they are. And I would argue that if Arizona and Kansas aren't among the six, there's going to be a lot of folks who just throw up their arms and say, just let the schools pay the players because the NCAA doesn't care about cleaning this up.
That's right. Some schools may be too big for the NCAA to fight up against. We shall see. I saw this, and the ESPYs are coming up, and they came up with the best college athlete nominees. So I'm curious as to who you would vote for. You've got Rachel Garcia, the UCLA softball phenom, Sabrina Ionescu, Oregon women's basketball phenom, Zion from Duke, and the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. All incredibly talented in their respective sports. Who has the biggest impact? Who gets the nod in your book?
Rachel Garcia. Not only is she had a phenomenal season on the mound, she hit close to 400 with power. And, oh, yeah, her team won the national title. And they won the national title because of her. So, I will say, interesting, Sabrina Ionescu, one of the guys I work with most closely at The Athletic, is the Oregon writer. And he wrote, Ionescu's prominence at Oregon is greater than that of Marcus Mariota's. She deserves a statue there.
Is it greater than Steve Prefontaine?
Oh, no one's ever going to beat out Steve Prefontaine in Oregon. But Rachel Garcia, I actually like college softball. I like college baseball. When you watch Garcia play, man, she is a dominant athlete.
Yes.
I mean, incredible hitter.
Yes.
Throws 72 miles an hour, which I believe is the equivalent of 98 for baseball, considering where the mound is. So, my vote out of those four would be Rachel Garcia, which means she has no chance of winning. It'll probably be Zion. But Kyler Murray was fun to watch. And all four were fun to watch, too. Ionescu was exceedingly fiery on the court. There's this really famous scene of Ionescu, and she's crowing about beating the team, and you can tell she's cursing her head off. So it's sort of – I find that humorous. I would vote for Rachel Garcia out of that quartet.
As far as the Q rating is concerned, got to be Zion, right?
Yeah, Zion first, Murray second, and I don't know. I think if you asked 100, if you talk to people, are you a hardcore college sports fan, and they all said yes, I'm not sure more than 10 could tell you who Garcia and Ionescu are because they're women athletes.
No question. Mike Hugan in The Athletic. You mentioned you like baseball. Louisville beats Auburn today in the rain. Continued game from yesterday. They win it 5-3. Got a good one. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State underway as we speak. And that's, man, I firmly believe that the winner of the World Series is coming out of that, one of those two teams. I don't know what you think, but that's my belief.
Yeah, I was surprised that Arkansas was two and out. Florida State got that magical pitching performance in game one. Michigan got the magical pitching performance to beat FSU. Sort of incredible. Michigan and Florida State were two of the last four teams in the field as per the NCAA selection committee. Both ended up in Omaha. And, you know, this is the last go-round for Mike Martin. We have a story on that today, as a matter of fact. I mean, you know, it's funny. Kevin O'Sullivan, the Florida coach, said, I want FSU to win. I don't like FSU, but I love Mike Martin. Yeah. And that seems to be the case with everybody. We had a part of the story was how everybody likes Mike Martin and how he's been to Omaha so often and how he and Skip Bertman and Augie Garrido used to dine together when they were in Omaha. So, you know, I think he's the sentimental choice. But, you know, an FSU team that was just crushing people the last 3 weeks can't hit now that they've gotten Omaha. So I think, I think Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, I think Vanderbilt's the best team. And Kumar Rocker's got a football connection because his dad is Tracy Rocker.
Yeah.
So interesting that Tracy Rocker was not at the Super Regional game in which his son, Cade 19, and threw the no-hitter. Don't want to say what I've heard, but let's just say it's unfortunate that his dad wasn't there.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'll let your imagination get the best of you on that one.
Yeah, imagination. All right, Michael. I'll tell you what I heard. I heard that Jeremy Pruitt said, no, we got a camp. You can't go. Now, I don't know if that's true, but if that is, that's his dad missed out on. And that was just a mind-blowingly great performance by Kumar Rocker, an 18-year-old freshman.
Yeah, so. Unbelievable. Come on, man. Let the dad go see his son play. No,
that might not be the case, but, I mean, his dad was – I think his dad is there today, so which is good. If you're an SEC fan, you may not like Mississippi State. You might not like Auburn. You might not like Arkansas. You might not like Vandy. But I think part of you, if you're an SEC fan, we got four teams there. We better win the title.
And I just know one thing. I know one thing. Nobody likes the Whistler.
No, that's very true. That is so annoying. I mean, it's annoying to watch on TV. I cannot fathom what it would be like to sit next to the dude in the stadium.
Oh, that would be – no, I'd have to get up and leave. I would. I would just say, hey, forget it. I'm going to some other seat so far away, I'm just not being a part of this. That's it. I don't care if I have to sit in the outfield. If I got good seats, I'm giving them up. I'm going to sit in the outfield. I don't care. Just not happening. Michael Hugan, you're the best. Greatly appreciate your time. As always, have a great rest of your week. Hump Day with Hugan, and always a big hit, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, you take care. Michael Hugan of The Athletic. Great writer, great editor. He is just really, really good at what he does, and we love having him. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana's number one sports station. I promise.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
And we welcome you back at 52 minutes after the hour out there in Omaha. Louisville beat Auburn in that rain-delayed continuation game today, 5-3. And right now, top of the fifth, Vanderbilt all over Mississippi State, leading that one 6-0. Later on this evening, Texas Tech and Florida State in an elimination game. And from the it's getting out of control line, police in Lakewood, Colorado have asked the public for help in identifying a man who was involved in a brawl on the field at a youth baseball game on Saturday. This was a game between seven-year-olds. Now, seven-year-olds from Lakewood and Bear Creek that got out of control after parents and coaches got into a dispute over a call by a 13-year-old umpire. Can we please sort this out? Parents, please. My goodness. Seven-year-olds playing baseball with a 13-year-old umpire and parents getting into a fight over it. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, let's go to our daily history lesson. It was on this day, June 19th, the year 2016. It had never been done before. Down 3-1, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers rallied, and they defeated the Golden State Warriors on this day in 7-3, to win the first championship in franchise history. On this day, June 19th, the year was 2016. Cleveland, this is for you. Remember that one? Okay. All right. Well, if today's your birthday, from all of us to all of you, happy birthday. Hope you have the best day ever. Cake, ice cream, some gifts. You deserve it. You share it with the likes of 30-year-old Jacob DeGrom of the New York Mets. What a picture he is. Happy 40th birthday to Dirk Nowitzki of the Dallas Mavericks. One more go-around for the Dirk. Be about 21 straight years in Dallas. Amazing. And posthumously, happy birthday to the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, born on this day, 1903. Only lived 38 years. Died in 1941. There's a disease named after him, right? And what a player. What a player with the Bronx Bombers. June 19th. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So we want to thank our guests in a Briggs version today because of Astros baseball. Astros lose it 3-2 to the Reds. Reds score 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth. They'll play again tomorrow. Mike Scarborough joining us talking about the happiest man on the planet, Ed Orgeron. He keeps getting recruit after recruit after recruit. 19 commitments now. And the Tigers are 3rd overall behind Clemson and Alabama. If they get some of the big fish that they're after, they'll be moving on up like the Jeffersons. And then Michael Huguenin of The Athletic joins us today. And we talked about a myriad of topics. Tomorrow, it's the NBA draft. It's a huge day for the city of New Orleans. Welcome to the Big Easy, Mount Zion. As Zion Williamson will be the first pick to the Pels. And then we'll see what David Griffin has up his sleeves with that 4th pick. Is he going to keep the pick? Is he going to wheel deal? Try to get an all-star type player? Is he going to pick up more draft picks? That's the big conundrum facing tomorrow night. We'll go live to the Big Apple, to New York City, for comprehensive reports on that. We'll break it all down. More on the College World Series and anything else that comes along in the world of sports. CD, thanks for all you do each and every day. Thanks to all of you for listening and to our partners that make it possible. Whew, are we appreciative. We have only one Wednesday, June 19th, so I hope you have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. And come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.